Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Do me a favor, visit audiblepodcast.com/SRW and get your free audiobook download right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
Welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Who would have thought? I said from the beginning that I was starting this podcast because I was a wrestling fan. There's lots of podcasts that people make because they don't like wrestling anymore, because they don't like the direction it's going, because they take it too seriously. I don't know what the reason is, but they complain a lot about pro wrestling. From the beginning, I said the reason I was doing this was because I was a wrestling fan. I like wrestling. I want to talk about wrestling. And so I thought this podcast would be a good place to talk about it in a positive way. However, in a few short weeks, this podcast has become the most heat-seeking wrestling podcast in all of the internet. This podcast, after last week, and maybe it's all that Katie Linendoll's fault, but this podcast is being accused of acting as a vehicle to turn Roman Reigns heel. That's right. After hearing last week's interview, people are saying, Sam, we know that the WWE sent Roman Reigns to your podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, to begin his heel turn. It's the only possible explanation for him explaining that he was wanting to get rich by becoming a professional wrestler. Well, I'm going to talk about all of that in the state of wrestling, but I want to start with the interview as I always do. He hasn't done a lot of interviews, but he's a pal of mine and somebody who I want. NXT is like my favorite thing to watch right now in terms of wrestling. NXT, it's a fun show every week. It's good wrestling. The stories are great, and that's what it takes. It's the stories. Corey Graves is a guy who had a lot of buzz as an NXT superstar. Everybody was asking, when is Corey Graves going to hit the main roster? And all of a sudden, he disappears. Apparently, I think it was at last year's WrestleMania, he got a concussion at WrestleMania Fan Access while wrestling a match. That was his second, I think, documented concussion, and a concussion that led to the WWE and him deciding that he's no longer to be an active WWE superstar. He's got to retire from wrestling. He's a young guy. He's my age. And he was told he has to retire from the ring. He did not let that stop him. I mean, he retired from the ring, but he's still in the business. He is now the host of the Raw pre-show on the WWE Network every single Monday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, live from Stamford. He is the host of the NXT pay-per-view pre-shows, not pay-per-view, but special pre-shows. He's one of the play-by-play announcers for NXT. He does the commentary, and he is now one of the hosts for the pay-per-view pre-shows, and he's a hell of a broadcaster. He's a great talent, and I think he's a huge asset to the WWE broadcasting team. It's a shame that he's not wrestling anymore, but it's always good to see somebody who shares a passion for the wrestling business and is eager and willing to make something out of that passion, to not let setbacks stop him, and to keep moving forward. It's always good to see people moving forward in this life, and that's exactly what Corey Graves is doing. My guest this week on the podcast, from NXT, WWE commentator, announcer, host, Corey Graves.
And now, the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast interview.
And we welcome to the studio the newest superstar that has been brought to the podcast specifically to be turned heel.
That's right.
Corey Graves is here. Corey, what's the haps?
I'm a real-life heel, so I don't think there's anything necessary about turning me heel.
The work's already been done.
Yeah, I've since birth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came out of the womb with a foreign object.
Yeah.
I believe.
Just ready to knock your mom out with a golf club or
That's
something.
Right. It was a piece of something wrapped in athletic tape. Well, we never quite established what it was, but it was foreign and it did damage.
Right. I mean, you pulled it out of your diaper.
Right. And referee never saw it. So, I mean, right. You know.
Quick roll up. You're good.
That's it. That's all it took.
Well, welcome, dude. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm cold. I'm warm now, but this is the second blizzard in, 2 weeks that I've endured. And, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh. I grew up in the cold, but I've been in Florida for the last three and a half years, so this is kind of a
You just get
shock.
Acclimated to Florida?
Yeah, yeah. I typically wear a lot of linen now, a lot of white pants.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Tommy Bahama.
Right, right.
Is big where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was actually, because I know, because you've moved on from wrestling, but... You're now not only an NXT play-by-play guy and pre-show host, but you're doing the Raw pre-shows now, which is out of Stamford. So I would have thought that you would have at least considered, since you're up here every week, moving to Stamford full-time.
The thought has crossed my mind. Granted, this is still kind of a new gig, and things change, you know, on an right. hourly basis. In
3 weeks in, you're just like, I bought a house, right. So everybody's happy with me, right?
Right. I considered it. I talked about it before I actually came up here, and last week definitely was the surefire no. After having to dig yesterday morning, before I went to the studio, I spent legitimately 20 to 25 minutes knocking ice off of my vehicle, and I didn't miss that.
Yeah.
I did, however, I was surprised that I retained my snow driving skills. I fishtailed around a bend in downtown Stamford, and I handled it pretty well.
But what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty proud about that.
The hotel you're staying at doesn't have indoor parking?
No. In fact, there's some sort of seminar or conference going on to where they have the actual close parking lot completely blocked off, and they've built some sort of tent structure.
Uh-huh.
So you have to walk approximately 14 miles from your car to the hotel.
Approximately.
Yeah.
Oh.
Give or take 13 miles.
Which is perfect for February in New York.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Especially when I pride myself on being an efficient packer.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually... You know, I just have a carry-on with my suit for the week and my garment bag. I don't have time for a heavy coat.
Right.
I own heavy coats. I'm not sure where I have them in my house in Florida, but I know I own them.
So you do not bring heavy coats when you travel?
No, this denim jacket I'm wearing right now is the extent of my thermal protection, which is it's insufficient at best.
Completely. But yeah. You're thinking, okay, we go to the hotel, to the studio, to whatever, out of here.
Exactly. I forgot about the 20-minute warm-up period inside the car.
Right.
I think I'm getting off the plane, I'm getting in a rental car, I'm going to be fine. But then, yeah, the rental car's been sitting on the lot for a day, maybe more, and it's very cold.
And it's almost easier to survive, like, a day of cold than 20 minutes. Like,
yeah.
When you have to have that 20 minutes of cold, or when you, like, that burst, when you go outside and your body just tells you immediately you're not wearing a jacket, you idiot.
Right.
That's the worst.
As I was leaving the studio after the pre-show last night, I had forgotten the trick to... flipping up your windshield wipers so mm-hmm. they don't freeze. Well, they had frozen, and after digging through about 6 to 8 inches of snow on my car with my bare hands.
And I'm going to guess the gloves are in the jacket pocket you don't have?
The gloves. Yeah. I don't think I own gloves. I've never been a gloves guy. Even in Pittsburgh, I didn't.
You don't tattoo your hands up to wear gloves.
That's a valid point.
Right?
Right. So, but yeah, I couldn't really feel the wheel. For the first 5 to 7 minutes of my drive, it was probably unsafe.
Black. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm missing the tip of a pinky this morning, but I'm sure we can fix that.
But this is so great about the position you're in now, because a superstar, a wrestler, a sports entertainer can't work matches if their hand is frostbitten and has to be removed.
Right.
But you could host a pre-show. Just get a lapel mic and you're good.
Right. My vocal cords are safe right now.
Right. You can cut off the whole arm.
Yeah. I might, might look into that at some point.
Because you've got an even stronger gimmick.
I need to reinvent myself every few years. Maybe
right.
I'll just lose a limb.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of reinventing yourself. So, you were one of the guys who NXT has blown up.
Yes.
So huge in the last, year or so. But you were one of the initial guys that started getting this buzz around them, like right after the Wyatts came up, it was like, what's going on in NXT? There's a whole bunch of people down there that have these personalities, and they're compelling, and they're actually really, really good in the ring, and you got to start watching this thing. And I feel like Corey Graves was one of the first names that was thrown into that with the Adrian Nevilles and the Sami Zayns and all that. How close were you before you got the concussions to coming up to the main roster?
You know, I've heard various stories. I had a lot of contact with writers, and I was constantly pitching ideas, and a few of them seemed like they'd have legs, and it seemed, you know, I'd heard some rumors buzzing around from guys up on the road say, hey, I heard you're coming up soon, but, I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that,
right,
I would be able to retire.
Right.
And I mean, and honestly, it probably was a situation where they're like, you know what, we're going to bring them up soon, and then you just get distracted with other stuff.
Yeah, sure. It's not like they're lying. You know, that's the business is always changing, and everyone's so busy. And this thing, I don't think people realize, as much as we're on TV, as much as we're on the air,
yeah,
it's still a 24/7 job. Just right. Because no one's in a ring right now, this is a huge corporation. I mean, it's a worldwide business, that then there's constantly, it's just so much going on. So, yeah, you think everyone's focus is on, okay, well, what are we going to do with Corey Graves today?
Right.
Man, whoever makes that decision is also worried about 13 other people, and then, you know, that might be for that day, that might be what they're doing, and then they have to go worry about catching a flight and getting, I mean, we're all human.
Yeah.
Except for, I'm not sure Vince is human. Vince may not be a human.
Well, and that's kind of the way the company is run, right? He's like, well, I work on unhuman levels.
Exactly.
Like, I can work all the time at whatever age I'm at.
Right.
I don't understand why anybody else. Yeah.
And you can't argue with him. I mean, right. because he's living proof. You can do it. It can right. be done. But that's why there's a lot fewer Vince McMahons in the world than there are, you know, regular people.
Right. And do you look at Vince like, do you sit there going like how old are you? Like 30?
I'll be 31 next few weeks.
So you're like 31.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I'm kind of beat, man. I got to get out of here. And you look at this like 70-year-old dude that's like, have you ever seen the dude tired?
No, he's like Donald Trump. He's,
right.
Donald Trump has never had the flu.
He's
never had the flu.
Right.
Yeah. Vince is, he's a marvel, man. He's something special. I mean, I'm not just blowing smoke. I mean, that guy's inspiring.
Right.
I mean, I don't care what business you're in, you should aspire to be that successful at any one thing. I mean, and that's his work ethic. You
he's
know
the
mean?
Best at it.
That's
like,
it.
You can't deny.
You can't at all.
He's outlasted. He's been more successful than on every level. He's beaten everybody he's ever.
Right.
Within the industry. How much interaction have you had with Vince McMahon? Because I know Triple H is the guy who's
right
in charge of NXT.
Triple H is the one I deal with more often than not. I've met Vince in passing and, you know, exchanged pleasantries, but I still haven't really gotten
how's it going,
too much
pal?
Yeah. Yeah. The first time he called me by my name, I went, oh my God.
He knows my name.
Yeah. It was it. Oh my God, he knows my name. But I mean, he's busy, and it's cool though, because even within the company, he's got like this mystique, because you never know where he's at, but he's mm-hmm. everywhere all at once, and it's just kind of like, he's like this mythical character. But
right. Now, what type of vibe for you, because what type of vibe for you does Triple H have? Because Triple H, I would think that there's a lot that goes on in the company that it becomes difficult for somebody to go from superstar to, for all intents and purposes, the next mythological guy in charge, one would think. What do you see as a guy who wasn't there, you know, during the prime of his run? Do you see him as that leader? Do you see
Triple H talking about?
Yeah, Triple H.
Yeah, I deal with him a lot directly.
Yeah.
And I've never heard anyone, even the boys in, you know, locker room banter, say anything just overtly negative, because he's very understanding
mm-hmm.
and he takes time out of what I've never had. He's a guy you've never asked, hey man, do you have a minute? And he's never said no to anybody. You know what I mean? He'll stop what he's doing to at least address your problem. Promise he's going to fix it. But he'll say, all right, you know, hey, I'll look into that, or maybe we can get that fixed.
Well, at least listen to what you're
right.
saying, which is more than most bosses.
Right, and I think what's really cool is he comes from the other side of the locker room. He's one of the boys at heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, he's in a different role now. He's got to take on professional responsibilities. But he, I think, understands better than anybody what we feel like, or what the talent feels like,
yeah.
you know, as opposed to, and not that Vince doesn't, but Vince was never a wrestler. Vince never really faced the problems or the issues that a lot of the guys do. Hunter's been through it all.
Right.
He's been run through the ringer. He's been at the bottom of the card. He's main evented.
And he's dealt with Vince McMahon.
Right.
As a boss.
Exactly. And he's been around through, you know, some of the strongest personalities throughout the business.
Yeah.
And the clique and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, he's literally been around and seen everything there is to do. So for him to relay that as a boss or in an authority role is really cool, because it makes him very relatable and approachable.
And
my personal favorite thing about Triple H is watching him at NXT. If he's trying to explain something to a guy,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing cooler than watching him take his suit jacket off. And he starts throwing punches. And next thing you know, he's like running spots and in this like, you know, $1,000 suit.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you his passion is still there. You can't take that. You can take the wrestler out of the ring, but you can't take the wrestling out of the guy. You know?
He's still ready to like, yeah, all right, ready let's do bumps. Let's
yeah, exactly. It's so funny. I mean, it'll be in the middle of a conference room and he's like, no, you got to do it like this. And then the jacket comes off and he starts throwing.
But I would imagine
so
that
cool.
For a lot of people, that's probably the aha moment. Like, oh, this is clicking now.
It is. Well,
I understand what you're saying.
That's why he does it. I mean, he said on the Stone Cold podcast that's one of his biggest thrills is seeing the light bulb go off. And you know, I've learned a ton from him.
Mm-hmm.
And getting out, even when I was still in the ring, get out of the ring and come back into Gorilla, and here comes Hunter. And sometimes he wasn't happy, but he would always do a really good job of explaining himself, as opposed to just yelling at you and saying, oh, that sucked or that was bad.
Right.
He would say, listen, man, why did you do that? And then by the end of it, you would walk away going, oh, well, man, that was way easier than I thought it was going to be. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, why shouldn't I do it? And that's what he appreciates and gets a thrill out of. But it's also really cool for the talent because then you just say, oh, man, like, I'm not going to get yelled at. I'm not getting in trouble. He just wants to fix this. And mm-hmm. then you do it. And then next thing you know, he's the first to say, hey, man, that's what I'm talking about.
How much of the because it sounds you're describing a guy who gets off on figuring out how to make other guys get over, like young guys work and getting people to the next level. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so.
How does he react to like internet, whatever, criticism? Does he care? Does it get to him? Is he like, if you guys could just see what actually goes on?
You know, I'm not inside his head.
Right.
I only know what overtly comes out. And I would say with social media being what it is and the internet, it definitely has a strong presence. I mean, we're not going to – that's as much of a part of our business now as it ever has been. You know, the internet's huge. I think he's probably been through it enough and on such a different level than even like I – you know, you and I get crap on Twitter. And
right.
It's like, God, man, that sucked. He's
got, I don't suck.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But he's probably been through so much of it that I think he – I'm sure he's aware of it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you can let that sort of thing bother you.
I think I mean he did one move on his Twitter, I think right after the last NXT special, where the sub forum on Reddit that's devoted to wrestling sent him a fruit basket.
I saw that, yeah.
And he tweeted the fruit basket
right.
and said thanks, guys.
Right,
and so it's like, yeah, he gets it.
Yeah, he knows
like,
it's
he
there,
it.
And he you know, but again, you can't please all the people all the time, but you can kind of acknowledge them and say, hey, you know, this is it's a passionate fan base.
Right.
You know what I mean? The internet, whether you call them the smart marks or whatever you want to use, that's a very passionate fan base, and you can't completely neglect them. You
right.
can't always give them what they want as much as you would like to give everyone what they want all the time. There's a strong enough thing to, you know, yeah, we're not going to totally change everything just because you didn't like it on Twitter.
Right.
But at the same point, say, hey, man, you're passionate enough that you're taking time out of your day to acknowledge it and, you know, complain about it. Let's, you know, let's try to throw you a bone once in a while.
And you want a guy in charge who you feel like you can trust in the sense that, look, I know people don't get this right now, but ride with me on this. Or we can change it if need be, but I have a vision here, and my vision is one you can trust.
Right, yeah. He knows where he's going.
Yeah.
Especially with NXT. I mean, he again, I hate to keep bringing up the Stone Cold podcast, but that was fresh in my mind. He actually addressed some of this stuff last night. NXT is his baby. He knows where he wants to take it. He knows what he wants to do with it. There's variables. Things change. Guys get hurt. New guys show up. You know what I mean? But he has a vision that he's working towards. Not everyone necessarily knows what it is,
mm-hmm.
but it's going somewhere.
And
so it's nice to have someone that believes in us as much as we're there's a really strong almost kind of a team mentality in NXT
mm-hmm.
across the board. As much as, you know, everyone wants to get called up, everyone wants to be on Raw or SmackDown, that's the ultimate goal. But in NXT, from you know, the announcers to the talent to the coaches at the Performance Center, everyone kind of has, I don't want to say us versus them,
right,
but it's kind of like we have like a chip on our shoulder, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool because Hunter's on our side, so
yeah.
we're kind of like, yeah, man, you know,
we
I mean?
Have a representative.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's a pretty damn good representative.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a cool vibe.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. When you're over so big in NXT, I would think a while back when it was like FCW and it was just really we're wrestling in a warehouse, this is strictly developmental, not its own brand, there was probably a lot of, I got to get to the main roster, this is... When you're over in NXT, is there a part of you that's like, I'm not on the main roster yet, but, you know, this is cool?
I think yes, to, in a short answer, yes, that definitely is there, especially now, because as NXT grows as a brand,
yeah,
we get a lot of perks. Uh-huh. That you would get being a WWE superstar, you know what I mean? Getting to do a podcast like this, you know right. what I mean? Certain things that before in FCW and certain, even the inception of NXT, we were kind of the little secret, you know what I mean?
Right.
We're not going to pay much attention to them. But now as the brand grows, a lot of the talent gets to experience different things. Sami Zayn just went to Abu Dhabi to do media, you mm-hmm. know, because he speaks Arabic or whatever. But that little opportunities like that, that's really cool. And just very recently, the brand is starting to grow, you know, grow even more. We're doing our first live event on the road next month in conjunction with the Arnold Classic in Columbus.
Are you doing stuff with that?
Am I personally?
Yeah,
I'll be there. I'll be doing some, I don't know, some hosting or you know,
something.
Telling jokes. I'll do stand up after the show in the parking lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
And fail miserably. But that's like the first step. And I think it's like the test run to see how we do. But
yeah,
I know we're doing a venue. I think it's around 1,000 seats. And rumor has it that it sold out in 20 minutes.
Wow.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So that sort of feeling amongst the locker room and just morale as a whole for NXT is huge. You know what I mean? That goes, hey, we've got this buzz. And it's not going to happen overnight. But there's no reason that, you know, if we do start touring a little bit, it could almost be, in a weird way, almost like a cooler alternative to the main roster. Because you're still, it's on a smaller scale.
Right.
You do maybe get to spend a little bit more time at home, sleep in your own bed once in a while. You still get a lot of the perks of being on the road and traveling and things like that. And I think a guy like Sami Zayn is perfect for that. Just know on a personal level, like I know Sammy. Sammy's a punk rock kid.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy wants to have fun and wrestle.
Right.
Whether it's in front of 200 people in Lakeland, Florida, or if it's in, you know, 50,000 people at WrestleMania, which the goal is still the same. He wants to be the best. And of course, if you don't want to headline WrestleMania, you don't belong here.
Right.
But
so many of the guys that are also indie guys.
Right. That's what
they're used to doing this and traveling. And even like, you know, Fergal Finn and Hideo are like these international guys. But these are guys that have been all over the world and wrestled in front of every sort of weird crowd that you can imagine.
It's incredibly awesome to do what you love and get a paycheck.
Yeah.
And any of us that came from the indies never really, you know, we never really experienced that.
Right.
Some of us made a couple bucks here and there, could, you know, pay for our car or our rent or whatever, but to actually know that you get a check every Monday and all you have to do is show up and do what you've been doing for, you know, crap money for a lot longer. It's an awesome feeling.
Do you have you ever been in situations where you have to remind other people of that? Like,
no, absolutely. I've been in need of reminders of that. I mean, I found myself, you know, sitting in the performance center. The performance center is a state of the art thing. It's this amazing, living, breathing structure. I mean, mm-hmm. You've been in it.
I've been there. Yeah,
it's fantastic. But you know, it's like anything else. You go to train every day, and you train the same way. And sometimes you feel like, oh man, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But then that's when you need the reminder. And my dad was always really good to be my reminder.
Mm-hmm.
I would come home and I would be so mad about something trivial. You know, something made me mad at train. Something didn't go my way. I remember the one conversation that always sticks out is Dusty Rhodes, who is our promo coach.
Mm-hmm.
He said something to me that it rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm, you know, I was so mad. I called my dad and I'm like, Dad, you know, Dusty said this. And my dad goes, okay, calm down. Listen to what you just said to me. And I said, yeah, I just complained that Dusty Rhodes ruined my day.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, shut up. He's like,
you're getting pissed that the American dream right. is saying negative things about right. your promos.
Right, exactly, exactly. And I just went, it's just one of those, oh, yeah, check yourself, man. Like this, look at where you're at. Look at what you get to do. You know, my paycheck says WWE. That's insane.
Right.
You know what I mean? I grew up my entire life loving this business more than anything in the world. And the fact that in any capacity, that's how I support my family is
right.
like, it's still kind of mind blowing, you know?
Yeah. And it's pretty amazing too. You were talking about the perks and how not only were you yourself in the last video game, you're in 2K15 as an NXT dude, as are some of the other guys. But, like, the NXT guys are getting action figures. You go to shows. Like, I was at the Rumble.
Right.
And there's, like, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn shirts all over the building.
I think Kevin Owens was up until, I'm not sure, but I'd have to check. It was, like, the number two selling shirt on shop.com, like WWE shop.com, for a long time. Like, it was back ordered.
Yeah, I don't like to ask for too much, but I had to reach out to my WWE connect and said, dude, I need some NXT t-shirts. There you go. Like, but it's amazing that it's becoming this thing where you can have, it's become its own brand.
It is. And, it completely is. And I was talking to someone before about this, that there's no shame in coming in and having a 3-5 year NXT run.
Right.
If that's it. If that's the most you ever do, you realize with WWE Network now, the amount of eyes that get to see you perform your craft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you work on the indies, and yeah, sometimes you get a good town, and there's opportunities out there, but it's global, literally. I mean,
yeah.
To have the entire world be able to watch what you do, make some money along the way. Are you going to get rich and never have to work again in your life? Probably not. But hey, there's a better way to spend 5 years than, you know, working the cash register at a fast food joint or something, you know what I mean? Or doing some job that you hate, digging ditches.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a way to, a lot of people were starting to look at it, just like, man, I'd rather be here for a few years than never make it. You know?
People are talking about it too. Like, it's been so long, I feel like, since stuff popped up on my radar that people were saying, did you see this show? Like, you got to see what they're doing over here. Like, and it was the last NXT special, the last takeover show.
Our Evolution. Yep.
Yeah. That people were like, everybody was, you got to see this show. Like, they're doing, it's unbelievable stuff over here. This is what we're looking for. This is, and you just don't hear that a lot.
And it's
rare in 2015, not just for wrestling or sports entertainment, but for any form of entertainment, to be able to actually get people talking. Like, you got to see this. You
like
got
an
see
organic
this.
Buzz.
Because
yeah.
there's so much stuff
right
happening everywhere that for anything to have an organic buzz that's like real.
Yeah.
And building, not it's here and gone.
Right. I think that's part of the appeal is that it's not shoved down everybody's throat. You know, we have an hour a week on the network, and we've been doing these specials sporadically. Mm-hmm. I personally would love to do more specials because mm-hmm. they're fun. That's just my right. own personal thing. But I actually said that. I said it on the Raw pre-show. We were talking about what we could ask Triple H if we had one question. And I said, why doesn't NXT do monthly live specials? And I actually got a lot of tweets saying, no, that's too much. That'll ruin everything. Whoa. And I was like, listen, man, I'm just trying to come up with, you know, something to fill a few minutes. I didn't really think this out. I was just, you right. know, kind of spitballing.
I like that. How about more?
Yeah, exactly. If some is good, more must be better.
And I think that's also the thing that people forget, because there's a lot of a critique between Raw and SmackDown and NXT. And there are people, especially on the internet, they're like, wow, NXT is better than WWE, blah, blah, blah. But you're talking about 1 hour of TV a week versus 5 hours of TV a week, and 1 2-hour special every 3 months or so versus a pay-per-view every month and all this stuff. So, I mean, that's a big part of it, too.
Absolutely. The amount of content we have to produce, it's, you know, for NXT, you know, I know our guys, we do a live special, and then the next day we have like 4 weeks of taping.
Right.
You know, and everyone's like, oh, my God, I'm so tired. I'm so worn out. And it's like, dude, this is Raw. This is how every week, right. you know, every week the main roster does it. So, yeah, there's an advantage to being able to kind of take a step back and not have to worry about it for a few weeks. Maybe that's what some of the magic of it is, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Whatever it is, it's working.
Yeah, I'm not complaining, you know.
So how do you take the news when you find out, like, you know, you're not going to. First of all, how did you get your concussions?
I've been wrestling for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know specifically what things were. The last one I got was at WrestleMania Access last year mm-hmm. in New Orleans. That was the last diagnosed one that I had, and that was the one that led the doctors to go, hey, we need to take a really serious look at this.
Well, what year did you start wrestling?
Oh, 2002, maybe.
So that was still when people didn't even really take concussions seriously.
No, you know, you get your bell rung. You
right.
finish going with the match. And
so you could have theoretically had 15 concussions.
Hypothetically. I mean, you know, I know when I have diagnosed ones, but right. again, I was on the indies for a long time. So,
which to the WWE's credit, the stuff they've been doing with concussions
oh, absolutely.
Is pretty incredible.
Absolutely. I was talking to you know, Joe before we came in here, and I said, I think I am the... And I could be wrong. I'm sure someone will tweet me if I am. I think I'm the first professional athlete, which we are
uh-huh.
professional athletes, to be made to retire by his organization because of concussion issues.
So they wasn't like a doctor said you shouldn't do this. It wasn't you saying. It was WWE saying.
Well, no, it was a mutual thing.
Right.
You know, the doctors. I can't argue with the doctors. Mm-hmm. I can tell you how I feel. The doctors said one way. WWE trusts their doctors. We kind of all sat around and it was like, okay, hey, listen, this sucks, but. We can't. They were looking out for me better than I was looking out for myself. Basically, mm-hmm. When it boils down to it,
right? Because if it's, I mean, if it's up to me or what, like, why would you worry about your own personal
safety?
Right,
right. I feel great. I wake up in the morning and I feel okay. What's wrong with me? But then, you know, I don't know how to read a CAT scan or an MRI.
Exactly.
There might be some stuff going on there. Obviously, I don't think anyone was like, you know, there was no conspiracy. There was nothing to, you know, hey, we got to get rid of this guy. Let's tell him he has a concussion. Like,
right.
I was kind of doing really well at the time, so
right.
It wouldn't have made any sense, you know what I mean? But it was what it was, but luckily, you know, I've transitioned.
How did you, when it was first, like, the talk was, okay, well, you're not going to wrestle anymore, did somebody say, we're going to find something for you, though, kid?
Literally how it happened was, it was on a Friday. It was an NXT taping. I want to say it was... It might have been after a live special. It was definitely on a Friday, and they called me into a room. It was Hunter and one of our doctors and some of the people from talent relations, and they sat me down, and I kind of knew it was coming. Hunter hinted to me earlier in the week that expect the worst. He said, I don't have, but just kind of expect it. So they sat down and they told me, okay, listen, this is how it is. And it sucked. You know what I mean? My heart broke. Period. I that was the worst news I've ever had in my life. But they said, listen, we're not going to throw you out on the street. We know you got a family. We know that you've worked hard. You've produced for us. We're going to give you some time, basically a grace period, to kind of see if you fit in. So, and they said, you know, we'll revisit it in a few months and kind of reevaluate things. So what I did was I took the weekend off and came back Monday morning. And I jumped into anything and everything I could get my hands on.
Mm-hmm.
I started working with the NXT live events, running music, doing things with the computer systems. I have no sort of technical knowledge whatsoever.
How did you get there, like, mentally? Because for a transition to come that fast, it would seem like the first place for you to be would be like, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore.
I think it was the way I sort of self-medicated with that, just keeping myself busy.
Right.
Just kind of... If I'm doing something, I'm not thinking about, you know, the bad stuff.
Yeah.
So I jumped in with both feet to everything. I started doing commentary in the booth, just, you know, I went to myself, I fancy myself a reasonably intelligent human being,
mm-hmm.
but the only thing I've ever wanted to do and loved more than anything in the world was wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here in WWE. I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by.
Plus, they've built this performance center now.
Right.
Where they literally have everything in it.
Exactly. And I remember saying to Hunter, then after the night of that meeting, we walked out and I pulled him aside and I said, I want to thank you for the opportunities to this point, but I'm not done here. And he looked at me and he kind of had like a half smirk and he said, I know you're not. And just kind of, that was my way of saying, you know, yeah, flat out, I'm going to figure something else out.
We get back to Corey Graves in just a second. Pardon my interruption, but Corey would want me to tell you this. He sounds very smart, doesn't he? That's because he's a well-read gentleman. He has a lot of information, and I've got a place where you can get information. It's called Audible. Audible is the internet's leading provider of spoken audio entertainment, information, and, if you want it, educational programming. Content from Audible, you can download it and play it back on your computer, on CDs, on an iPod player, wherever you want. There's over 100,000 hours of audio programs from 270 content partners that include audiobooks and broadcasters, entertainers, magazines, newspaper publishers, podcasters, business information providers. Look, if you search Audible for the Opie and Anthony Show, you can find classic clips of yours truly, Sam Roberts, on the Opie and Anthony Show only at Audible. You listen whenever you want. It's just like the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Audible has over 1,000 science and technology books and audio titles, over 1,100 in the category of science fiction and fantasy, and there's more being added all the time. Over 150,000 titles to choose from. Every genre, Audible has it covered. You're sitting there going, okay, Sam, big effing deal. What are you going to give me? How about if I give you a free audiobook? That's right. I worked this deal out for you because I want to show you how great this service is. Go to audiblepodcast.com/SRW and you get a free audiobook download when you sign up for your free trial. It's incredible. It's a free trial for Audible and you get a free audiobook. It's just stuff I'm giving away. It's not $9.99. It's free. Go to audiblepodcast.com/SRW. Get a free audiobook today. Now, the offer is only good for those in the U.S. and Canada. That makes up most of you. If you can't get it, then move. Move to the U.S. or Canada because the deal's that good. www.audiblepodcast.com/SRW. Get a free audiobook today. Something that Corey Graves would read. Let's get back to the story of Mr. Corey Graves.
Were you worried that it wasn't going to happen? That
I was terrified.
Not going to find something for you?
I was terrified, but it wasn't. They made it clear it wasn't up to them to find something for me.
Yeah.
They were giving me the opportunity to figure out where I could fit in.
Just excel at something.
At something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it could have been anything. And I started cutting promos as a manager. I started doing the commentary stuff. I was doing stuff at the Performance Center, helping Dusty Rhodes with promo class, mm-hmm. helping the new guys with their promos.
So you were ready to even just be a promo trainer.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, even if it was like, I'm not on TV, I'm at the training center, it's a 9 to 5, whatever the hours are, job.
Right.
And
right.
I just help people with their promos.
Ultimately, this all boiled down to me having a family to take care of.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what I was worried about. But then I said, so there's got to be something here for me. And I love the business. And I love all the different aspects of the business, too. It's not, as much as I love being in the ring,
mm-hmm.
it's art. You know what I mean? And everyone can be creative and have their own thing. And there's so many different cool aspects of production. And a lot of this stuff is stuff I never knew until, you know, I was taken out of the ring. So, but it was kind of, what can I figure out? What can I be good at?
Right.
And I tried literally everything I could. There was nothing I would say no to. I started, you know, doing just little appearances for going to schools on behalf of NXT and doing some public appearances and just little things just to see where I fit in. And I built myself, I think, enough of a body of work over the 6 months or whatever that they finally took notice and they decided to go with the announcer route, the commentary route.
Which is amazing because you don't look like an announcer. And it's been kind of a thing, I feel like, where WWE has, you know, aside from Renee, has a look of what announcers look like and they're sportscasters and they wear a suit and they just fit the mold. Like I've thought about becoming trying to go over there and be an announcer, but I'm pretty sure they don't need somebody who looks like Sideshow Bob and Carlito Cool kind of mixed together. But you was that something you were worried about? Like you're like, I got this tattoo on my neck. I got my hands tattooed up. I don't care what suit you put me in. I'm gonna look like Corey Graves.
It's I thought about it. I wouldn't mm-hmm. say I worried about it. I think that's always kind of been one of my appeals that I know in my personal life. I've always liked to get dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to really do it on TV because my wrestling gear, I got the punk kind of gear on. And, mm-hmm. But I've always been into fashion. It's just something I appreciate. My wife loves it. She's like really huge into it. So I always thought it looked kind of cool when a dude has a really nice suit on, but you can see there's some tattoos.
Right.
Like it's kind of like there's a little mystique to it. And I think it translates kind of well on camera. I've actually got a ton of really cool feedback with how it looks. And yeah, I broke the mold, man. Maybe it's we're moving into a place where you don't have to look like a 9 to 5 suit and tie guy to be an announcer.
Right. Yeah.
Or personalities, you know.
And I think that's important. And I think that's been lost for a little while. Not so much with the pre-shows, I guess, because Riley's been there and Booker T's been there. But in terms of the announcers, that there isn't a ton aside since Michael Cole's kind of heel run, which was fun, there isn't that much personality associated with the announcers.
I think there's a fine line you have to walk
mm-hmm.
because if an announcer has too much personality, it takes away from what's going on in the ring.
Right.
That said, there's a lot to be offered when you are an announcer with an opinion and a personality. And if you can back it up and make valid points, that's what I've always tried to do since I've started doing this, and this is actually advice I got from Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Cole said, listen, I want you to be yourself. I want you to be opinionated and be, you know, kind of a smart. I was going to swear. I almost swore. No.
Ass?
Yes.
Okay, I said it for you.
Thank
that
you.
Was not
Thank
a
you.
WWE employee.
Right. but be that guy. Be who I am. But if I am going to do it with facts. If I'm going to insult somebody, let me make sure I can make a valid point with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So as opposed to me just going, oh, I don't like this guy because
he sucks. Yeah.
Well, so what? That what does that tell me?
But if you
say, I don't like this guy. Yeah, exactly. I don't like this guy because of so-and-so, but you have a valid point to back it up. That's kind of cool. But yeah, I don't, like I said, it's a fine line. You don't want to try to take attention away from what's going on in the ring. You want to enhance it.
Right.
And if you can do that with personality, cool. But then some guys, you know, just can't figure that out. And I'm still learning, man. I'm still new to this whole commentary thing. I've only been doing it in 2 months now.
It seems like you're into it. And it seems like a lot of people in your position, because you were wrestling for so long, you would kind of be like, well, I've achieved some level of expertise doing this. I'm going to come in with a chip on my shoulder doing that, because even though I haven't done commentary before, I know the wrestling business and blah, blah, blah. But you strike me as kind of going in as a willing blank slate.
Yeah, and you kind of have to be, because as I've learned, commentary is not anything like you think it is.
Right.
I thought, like you said, I thought I've been in this business long enough, I can commentate.
Right.
But then you start to learn and look at different things, and you realize there's some really terrible commentary.
They're all just doing bad Bobby the Brain Heenan impressions.
Right, right. And guys are just trying to get themselves over.
Right.
And they're taken away from the matches, and they're talking. And, you know, I have a lot of learning to do, but that's kind of what's exciting to me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's been so long since I've had something just brand new to learn and focus on. That this is a new journey for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm getting a second lease on a career here, you know, which is, I appreciate that, but it's exciting. It's fun. Like to be able to sit down and watch something and notice something I didn't notice before, or
right.
have things to work on or focus on. And it's awesome. I just have this, I shot the pre-show for the NXT, the next takeover show, that mm-hmm. like the hype show that'll air next week. I shot that yesterday for the first time. Just being in the studio and working with a new crew of guys, and it's a brand new start in, you know, on the same career. So it's pretty exciting for me.
Does that kind of block out any sort of I wish I was there? Like when you see either a Kevin Owens join NXT, because in one point you could be saying, oh, I wish I was still here so I could work with him, or watch, you know, Roman Reigns head towards the main event of WrestleMania, and you're like, now we're, you know, we were kind of on the same career path, and now we're not. Does having this new kind of toy distract you from that, or is that kind of out of your system?
I don't know. I think it depends on the day.
Yeah.
It depends on the situation, because there's been times where, yeah, it still hurts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's my passion. My heart is forever kind of broken. You know what I mean? I think I've done a pretty good job of like duct taping back together.
Right.
I think it's
like a second wife.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're like, I really thought I loved that first one, but second one's cool.
Second one's cool. She's great.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, there's times when it gets to me is certain, the live events.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing just someone walk out of the curtain and just basically it's because of what NXT's grown into.
Yeah.
People know everybody.
Yeah.
You, when someone's music hits and the people, everyone, even if it's 300 people, stand up and they freak out. I never quite got to that point with just where the business, you know, where the NXT was at the time. I missed that a little bit, you know. Would I love to headline WrestleMania with Roman Reigns? Absolutely. But
right.
When I'm busy doing something, whether it's commentary, if I'm doing commentary, I'm focused on making it the best commentary possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that does kind of distract me at the time. It's usually when I'm like sitting at home and I'm drinking a beer, watching TV, and I'm like, I see something and go, man, I should have done that, or
right.
that could be me, or you know. So it's still there, but
you just kind of have to adapt that into I want to call the main event.
Yeah, honestly, and that's kind of how I've helped cope with things, but yeah, I was going somewhere and I completely went off track there.
That's
I had
right.
a point. This is like the third time this has happened today. I've been talking all day. Yeah, you just want to be part of it, and I got a different opportunity.
And I guess then that's when somebody like your dad has to come in and be like, yeah, you're not in the ring. You're sitting at the table next to the ring. Relax. Like, it's still pretty
you're
good.
You're still doing like pretty okay.
You're not watching on TV.
Right.
You're sitting there doing that.
Yeah.
You were in Philly for the Royal Rumble,
yes.
as was I. You were in the crowd, as was I, but you were in the crowd doing the pre-show.
I was behind that cool little velvet rope with
right.
Booker and
right.
Renee
right.
and
which
Byron.
The plebeians like us can't get there.
Yeah, I nodded you out on the post-show.
Right. Don't let anybody know that, though, because that rope is there for riffraff like me to not interact with superstars like the four of you. What did you think of the crowd? What did you think of the reaction Roman Reigns got? Winning? Did you see it coming?
I think I think I saw it coming just because I know Philly.
Yeah.
And I before I got to WWE, I spent a lot of time. I'm from Pittsburgh.
And you're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and these guys boo Santa Claus.
Right.
So that wasn't surprising.
They throw batteries at football games.
Right. Like that. Yeah. I don't think anyone was shocked that he got booed. I think that the crazy thing was last year, that's all anyone wanted was for him to win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And everyone was mad when he didn't. So this year he does. And everyone's like, no, that's wrong. And that
you know
sucks.
What this means? Bad news for Rusev next year.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly. But then, yeah, what was cool was you completed his heel turn on the radio show.
Yeah, which was great because he called the radio show, and it was on the radio show 3 days before the Royal Rumble. It was on the radio already. It was out there.
Right.
But that's the internet, though. I had to put it specifically on the internet.
Give it to them on a platter.
Like 5 days after it had happened.
Yeah.
And then it was like, we hate this guy. And it's, why? He's trying to support his family
that's
and make the fans happy.
Yeah,
I don't understand it. But did you feel for him? Were you like, this is cool? Were you like, these fans need to give him a break?
See, I know him well enough that I didn't feel bad for him because I knew he got it. And he was in there. And you couldn't have, you know, pried the smile off of his face. He was in there doing it. And you know he's going... Man, he may not have expected it, but he's pro, man.
Right.
And he was in there going, I don't care who's, you know, what you're doing. Yeah, I would like for you to cheer for me.
Right.
I think he said when we went out that night, I've never been flipped off more in my entire life. He said, everyone, but
he's sitting there on some level knowing, I just won the
Royal
Rumble.
Yeah, I just won the Royal Rumble. I'm going to WrestleMania.
The Rock just came out to help me.
Yeah.
I'm going to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're going to send me a mean tweet, but like life's pretty okay right now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But that's probably, now I'm a heel because I agreed with what he said. Yeah. That's basically all he said was like, man, my life's pretty all right.
It's pretty obvious to everybody. I'm coming in to start a heel faction, which involves you.
Good.
Roman Reigns.
That's it. Wait till next year and we'll have Rusev.
Yeah. Once he gets... which by the way, and we said this on the podcast with Katie, last week, we went to Starbucks after the Royal Rumble.
Right.
But not right by the arena, like half an hour away from the arena. Rusev's just in there getting a coffee and but he's like, he still looks like Rusev. So I can't say that
he doesn't wear a mask, Sam.
But he's got a Rusev face.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Unapproachable.
Right.
Expression wise.
All right.
He's still got a Rusev aura.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I don't, because I can't say that he was staying in character, but everybody was talking about him like right next to him, but wouldn't
like he wasn't
him.
There.
You're like, oh, there's Rusev. I'm like, yeah, he heard you say that. I'm not going to ask him.
I always like when I'm, you can always tell who the smart fans are at the NXT live events that don't like me because someone inevitably will be just coming. I'll sit there and I'm running production. You know what I mean? I'm running music or doing whatever, and I'm kind of out with the people. And I'll have a lot of kids or fans come over and they'll sign stuff or say hey or whatever.
Sure.
And you'll always see two or three like college age dudes, usually with beards and thick glasses.
Yeah.
And they're in the front row and they're wearing like Rusev shirts and they're like looking back at me and they're whispering to each other and they're staring at me and they're whispering. But then they like just look straight ahead and they don't acknowledge me. And it's like, dude, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I don't care. But
maybe they don't dislike you. Maybe they love you.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. There's a lot of people really dislike me on Twitter. And
why?
I don't know. I understand. Like, yeah, I'll be the first to admit I wasn't the greatest in-ring dude of all time. So if you want to be like, oh, that guy sucked at wrestling. All right, cool. I mean, I
feel like people don't give you credit though as one of the indie guys, though.
No,
they
don't.
So many famous indie guys that
right.
came on board.
I was always kind of under the radar.
Right.
Like, I did pretty much all the same things that a lot of those guys did, but I
didn't know of you until you popped up in NXT.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time down there, but you know, hey, I'm not mad at it.
Right.
I've always just been curious. People are just like, you know, Twitter's Twitter. I kind of become to appreciate it for what it is, but
yeah.
People are like, you suck in the ring, and I can't believe you have a job. And I'm like, well, dude, I'm sorry. Sorry?
Yeah. I'm not going to stop doing it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I apologize that you don't enjoy my stuff, but I got to pay my bills, and I'm having a great time.
You were talking about, like, having a punk rock gimmick and not wearing suits and stuff. When you were in NXT, that's when Punk was still on the main roster. Was there any part of you that was like, they already got this punk rock dude, he's already tatted up, like... How am I going to differentiate myself from CM Punk?
Yeah, it was. You'd be amazed back to Twitter how often I get, oh, you're just a punk ripoff.
And you're like, yeah, I went and sat in a tattoo chair for 150 hours because
Oh, I'm gonna look like CM Punk.
Yeah, man. I that was always this big knock. I mean, oh, he's just a second rate. And I get it. You know, at first glance, you want to stand out. And I did remind people of something. So I can't say that that necessarily hasn't ever worked against me. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he got to the company before I did.
Sure.
And he was, you know, pretty successful when I first got signed. So, yeah, I don't think it was ever any like, no, we have Punk. We can't use Graves. If it did, whatever, you know, yeah. There's nothing I can do about it.
And everything's worked out
the
now.
The irony is people, like, they try to make this, they pit this fantasy rivalry, like, we hate each other because we're ripping each other off, and who's more punk rock? And it's like, nah, man, it's all good. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're pals. It's fine.
Kind of cool with each other.
Yeah.
And I would, that's the first thing that I would think. I would think, like, back then, Punk would be like, oh, he's probably got similar interests. Maybe we should hang out.
Yeah, and that's how I got to, like, I became friends with him on the indies, because we could actually hang out and not talk about wrestling. We talked about music and tattoos and ripping each other off.
Yeah. Hey, where'd you get those tights? Can I get kick pads like you? Is that... Oh, my God. Well, who are you looking forward to seeing on this NXT special? Because last one, and do you worry at all? You don't strike me as a guy. Every time I've asked you if you worry about something, you go, nah, I'm not really worried about it. But, like, is it sort of... Do you question when does this run out? Like, oh, like everything NXT has put out, even the TV shows, people are like, oh, last week was better than the week before, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, do you worry that you're going to screw up at all, this thing?
You know, on a long enough timeline, anything's going to go into a short, a slowdown period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People complain, oh, Raw sucked this week. But yeah, you know what? Give it a month, and you're all of a sudden emotionally invested more so than you've ever been. We don't have an off season. We don't have, even the best TV shows have an off season. The Walking Dead takes a few months off so they can recoup, take the, you know,
they do like seven episodes and then take 6 months off.
You know, and people aren't like, oh God, it's so, and people still complain, but we're doing this week in and week out, at least the main roster. NXT is still on every week. So eventually there's going to be a time that something's going to happen people don't like. But right now, we just kind of ride the wave.
Yeah.
It keeps growing. It doesn't seem like it's going to slow down anytime soon. I personally hope it doesn't. You know, I'm having a great time. Everyone's having a great time. I think we're making some awesome work.
Are you looking forward to anything specific?
I want to see Finn Balor and Adrian Neville.
Yeah.
I think that's going to steal the show. I'm pretty sure they've never wrestled.
Wow. Yeah.
I think, and I could be making this up because I have a tendency to pull facts out of the air that I'm certain I got from somewhere, but I might have just dreamed them up.
Uh-huh.
I think I asked Neville at the last set of NXT tapings because I was going to mention something about that. And I think because I asked him about Itami and Balor.
Uh-huh.
And he'd wrestled Itami, but I don't think he'd ever wrestled Balor, like, wow, ever, anywhere in the world, as well traveled as they've been, and they've been in the same sort of circles for a long time. I don't think so. I think that's going to tear it down.
I feel like a lot of these matches are matches that people would wait for a long time, that NXT is kind of like almost rushing to get to now. Like, they're the same thing with the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens match. Is that because you never know when they're going to get called up, so we better have this match now? Or
I think it's some of that, but I know just scheduling's crazy because, I mean, we shoot at Full Sail University,
yeah,
so we work around their schedule. We have the main roster TV, pay-per-views, all that sort of stuff in order to get all the production guys that we need down. That's like a scheduling. There's only certain windows we can actually shoot, and I don't know if I'm supposed to be telling you this, but I don't think this live special was supposed to happen this soon. I want to say it wasn't planned originally until, like, closer to WrestleMania.
It does seem very close to the last
one. But I know there's a lot of stuff happening, like with NXT going on the road, and we're going to the Arnold Classic and doing the kind of an Access sort of event there, and then Mania coming up, and then we're going to be doing Access out there. There's so much going on that in order to do it properly and have all our resources that we need, I don't know, that may have been Full Sail's call, that may have been WWE's. I don't know that aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it was, they went, hey, we got this window. Let's do it. You know, we're not going to say, oh, well, let's just wait a little too long. Because by then people are going to go, oh, man, it's been 5 months. What the heck? No one's giving us what we want. So I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed with this.
Do you think there's any sort of differential between the fact that Triple H is running NXT, Vince McMahon is obviously running the whole deal, but when guys get called up to the main roster, do you think that, like, something like the Ascension, for instance, super over in NXT, but they get up onto the main roster and it's kind of like, I'm not quite sure about these guys right now.
The one thing that a lot of people seem to forget is that NXT, while it is a WWE brand,
mm-hmm,
while we are on the WWE network, we're still kind of a niche. We have our own little
right
corner of the WWE universe that is ours.
And I mean, how many people? How Full Sail holds what?
I want to say 600 or 800 people. It's not like right. It's not a big place.
And it's like the, and it's like 400 of those are the guys who come to every single show.
Sure, and that atmosphere thankfully translates on TV, which yes. is awesome. It's yes. kind of like the old ECW arena where you just get pumped up because like you don't even know who these guys are, but the fans really like them, so I'm going to cheer for them. You know, what yes. I mean? It comes through, which is really cool. But the NXT fan base has grown with us.
Mm-hmm.
Since we started shooting it at Full Sail, you know, mm-hmm. when we used to, you know, give away some tickets because we just wanted some butts in the seats. And now, you know, we're selling out the next show as soon before the show that's happening is even over. And so the fans are so passionate about certain guys and they don't like it. And conversely, if they hate something, they'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the fans in Full Sail really make the product so much more spectacular. To use the Ascension, everyone in Full Sail loved those guys. You hear that guitar riff, man, at the beginning of their music, and that place would explode, and they had their yah chants and all this
right.
Full Sail-centric sort of atmosphere. Now, you go to take the Ascension to the main roster, and some people know who they are, sure, but the vast majority of the WWE universe has never seen these guys before. So while you have the internet guys and the guys that have watched NXT going, what the heck, you know, why are they treating them like this? The most Joe viewer sitting at home on his couch with his kid watching the show has never seen these guys before. So you have to reintroduce them. And yeah, maybe Vince has more of a hand in it or he has a different vision for it. So that there's definitely a bit of a disconnect
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. But, you know, Bray Wyatt came out of NXT. Bray Wyatt was doing the True. Same thing in NXT he's doing up on the main roster. I mean, and some of us were worried. We thought,
really?
They're gonna tone Bray way down, or they're not gonna let him be him. And he went up, and he's you know setting the world on fire. Yeah. So it's a case by case basis, but a lot of it's because of the fans.
Yeah, that Bray Wyatt thing too is just like an amazing. You talk about second chances.
Whew, man, I remember watching him in one of Dusty's classes uh-huh. cut the first Bray Wyatt promo, and he got done, and he had the lights dimmed. We dimmed the lights for him, and everyone just kind of looked at each other, and Dusty looked over at us, and we looked and. And like no one knew what to say.
Right.
It was unreal. I mean, you don't ever make Dusty Rhodes speechless. Dusty's uh-huh. always got something to say.
No, you know that well.
Yeah. But when Bray started doing Bray Wyatt, man, it was like, whoa. There's a switch in his brain, man. That when he flips it, he is Bray Wyatt, and it's so much fun to watch.
He's one of the only guys I've interviewed that like has this ability to. He's not in character. But he's still Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
I'm not
that's
talking
what I'm
to.
Saying. There's something you're not talking. Yeah, there's no Wyndham
right.
there.
That's, yeah, I'm not talking to Wyndham. I'm talking to Bray. He's not Bray from TV, but he's Bray.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really interesting.
He's a unique cat, man.
Well, listen,
he's cool.
Thanks for hanging out, man.
Dude, thanks for having me,
Corey. Great. And when is the special on?
February 11th.
Okay.
Which, if you don't have the WWE Network,
mm-hmm.
which I know Sam, you do.
Day one.
But perhaps. Some ne'er-do-well listening to this podcast has not subscribed.
Which is, like, really, and I'll say it, this isn't coming from Corey Graves, a complete asshole move. Because I'm on the network.
Agreed.
Right. I'm on. So even if you don't even like any of the guests that I've had on, if you subscribe to this podcast, you know what? I'm just going to subscribe because I like Sam. I'm on the network, so subscribe right. to it.
There you go. So...
If, that's me putting myself over,
that was
over,
great.
By the way.
That was yeah, very yeah. well done. But if in the event that the NXT TakeOver Live special on February 11th isn't enough, if Sam Roberts isn't enough, the
it's
network
crazy.
Is free this month.
Yeah.
All of February. Free, including WWE Fastlane, the pay-per-view at the end of the month. So even
featuring
if,
the Corey Graves pre-show.
That's right. I will be on the pre-show panel for that.
Nice.
The Raw pre-show every Monday night.
Nice.
Which I'm still getting used. I don't forget that I'm doing it. I forget to talk about
it. To plug
it's
it.
Still,
that's your gig now.
Right. Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I am the host, co-host.
Right.
I'm the host. Who cares? I'm making the claim right now. I'm the host.
Scott Stanford's going to be on here next week turning heel.
That's true.
I'm the host.
He can be in our stable.
I don't care what the fans say. I'm here to get rich and be the host.
Scott Stanford is the best. He's so awesome. But yeah, so even if you're one of these fringe fans that just does nothing more than send nasty tweets and hate everything we do.
Right.
check it out because it's not going to cost you anything.
Right. It's free, and that way you can know what you hate.
But the thing is, generally speaking, if someone is passionate enough to send a nasty tweet, they also already care so much that they're like, God, all I want things. Yeah. They just want things to be good.
Right. And it's like, if it's not as good as it used to be, then just subscribe to the network and watch how it used to be. It's all there. It's all there.
We should take that to the marketing department. That's pretty good. We can run that up the ladder.
Right. I think it'll work. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
And now, back to Sam Roberts.
That's right. Back to me, indeed. Corey Graves. So awesome to have Corey Graves on the show. Not only because anybody associated with NXT right now, it's just amazing to me. I love what they're doing over there. But his story is so great. A guy that's come from where he's come from to have to give up wrestling at the height. I mean, 30 years old, and he's finally got that WWE contract, and he's finally there, and he's got to give it all up. For a guy with that story to have an attitude as good as his attitude is, and quite frankly, to be as good on commentary as he is, you know he's put the work in for it. He's not walking around with a chip on his shoulders. It's a reminder to all of us, especially to, you know, he had his bitter moments. Dusty Rhodes is telling him he doesn't like his promos, and his dad has to be like, look, that's the son of a plumber, okay? That's not a plumber telling you he has a problem with you. That's the plumber's son, and the plumber's son is the American Dream Daddy. So don't worry about it. And he goes, you're right, Dad. You're right. I won't worry about it. Now, if you hear anything going on in the background, my neighbors are fighting next door. So there may be some yelling that the mic is picking up. I don't know if it will for sure or not. But regardless, I don't have a lot of time. I got to get to the State of Wrestling because this week, the State of Wrestling is all about me and what happened on this podcast last week.
It's now time for this week's State of Wrestling.
Now, I'm super, super paranoid that my neighbors heard me. Yeah, I don't know. They're still yelling at each other, I think. Not me. I hope the guy's not yelling at the girl about me. Listen, State of Wrestling time. And last week, I mean, the podcast went everywhere. This show went crazy last week. The Squared Circle subforum on Reddit had thousands of replies pertaining to my Roman Reigns interview. There were multiple articles. I know Bleacher Report linked to it. Every wrestling site, WrestleZone, every wrestling site you can think of linked to it. There were multiple Reddit threads about different quotes from my interview as if they were different interviews. The biggest quote was Roman Reigns, and I remember him saying it, and I remember being struck when he said it, that I wasn't expecting that kind of honesty. And you don't normally get that kind of honesty from a young guy who's just getting his big break. Because Roman Reigns is a super young dude, and he's just getting launched into this main event scene. And that's not generally when you get a person at their most honest, because that's when they have the most to lose. I was refreshed at how honest Roman Reigns was. But he basically, when I asked him about, you know, the fans booing him and implied that his promos were, you know, getting criticized and not necessarily his, he said, the fans want one thing and the company wants another thing. And a lot of times, those two things, they don't match. All he knows is at the end of the day, he hopes he's the one who's getting rich. Now, I don't know why wrestling fans are so against the idea that these performers that are in the ring are not volunteers. Every person in the WWE is trying to get the largest salary that they can possibly get. It's just like when CM Punk left the company. CM Punk had a job. He didn't like the job anymore. He had enough money to get by. If you won the lottery, you probably wouldn't go to work. Because why? You'd find something else. You could just spend your days doing what you liked. And if you didn't like your job and you won the lottery, you wouldn't keep the job you didn't like anymore. Even if you started the job liking it. That's the position Punk was in. He won the lottery. He wrestled The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He made millions of dollars. Came up with great t-shirts. Okay, whatever he did, he made millions of dollars. At the time, he wasn't married. Doesn't have any kids. He's financially independent. For the time being, he has a job he doesn't like, so he stopped doing the job. I don't have a problem with that. Roman Reigns says, look, I understand that sometimes the fans don't like what I'm doing. I understand that I go into arenas and get booed. I understand that my promos come off as corny sometimes. But I'm here to provide for my family. I'm here to draw an income to give my family the most comfortable life I can possibly give them. That's what everybody in America does. That's the whole point of this whole deal. You know, I mean, part of the reason I'm doing this podcast is to get numbers up, to attract advertisers who will then pay me. You know, it's not, I'm not just doing it out of the goodness of my heart. Nobody does anything for an extended period of time out of the goodness of their heart. I mean, why? You could do something fun, and I feel a need to provide you entertainment. I want to connect with wrestling fans and put out a product that I, as a wrestling fan, would enjoy, but at the same time, I don't want to do it for free. And in the same interview, the quote that nobody used was Roman Reigns specifically said he wants fans to leave happy. He wants fans to leave happy. Why was that quote not used? It was pretty interesting looking at how out of context a lot of it was. As I said from the beginning, I didn't have a problem with Roman's interview. I thought it was great to hear a dude on the other end of that phone. Not a guy in character, not a guy giving me the company line, not a guy giving me a bunch of quotes that he thought Twitter would enjoy, but a guy being a guy and he being himself. You can't ask much more of a person than that, you know? And for him to say, the other quote that people criticized was he said, he basically implied that the people that are criticizing his work have never wrestled and therefore he can't take them terribly seriously. I get what he's saying, okay? And maybe I'm just making excuses for him, but when somebody tells me that I don't know how to broadcast, if they have never broadcast before, then I take their criticism with a grain of salt. I don't take judgments, full judgments, from people who can't do what they're telling me to do. If somebody is saying you're not doing that right, but they can't do it right, then how do they know what it is? If someone is saying you can't cook, okay, you can tell me you don't like the food, but you can't tell me I can't cook unless you can tell me what I did wrong and show me and cook a meal. If you can't cook a meal, you can't tell me I can't cook. You can tell me you don't like the meal. That's your personal opinion. You can tell Roman Reigns, you know, it's not for me. The promo is not for me. The match was not for me. But you can't say, yeah, dude, you don't know how to wrestle. You don't know what you're doing. You don't deserve to be in there. All right, well, if I don't deserve to be in there, then do you? Do you know that I don't deserve to be in there? Do you know the whole story behind this thing? I can't imagine. It's just like, I can't imagine anybody in Roman Reigns' position would turn down anything he's done. I have no blame for Roman Reigns at all. You know, is WWE in general guilty of maybe not always being fully in touch with the audience? I'd say lately that feels like it happens more often than it used to. The audience is changing, and I think it's more difficult to stay in touch with the audience. Triple H was touching on that during the great podcast that he did with Stone Cold on the WWE Network this week. But at the end of the day, we're venturing into this place where we as wrestling fans have rejected the idea of being lied to. We've rejected the idea of getting worked. We've rejected the whole idea of kayfabe. We say, you know what? We're on to what you're doing. We know it's a work. Just put on an entertaining product for us. And it's like, okay, we're going to try to put on an entertaining product for you. But if a wrestler does an interview and he's out of character and he's just being a guy and saying, look, at the end of the day, this is my job. I'm trying to entertain the people, but my number one priority is to make as much money as I can. How is that a bad thing? You know, he's trying to entertain people. He said he's trying to make people leave happy, give them a good show. But there's if his motivation is to make money for his family, then there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. Everybody's motivation is to make money on some level. Do you think anybody who's ever had a major spot in the WWE is not motivated by money? I mean, come on. Of course there's, you know, there's the artistic part of this. And Roman was talking about getting off on the creative parts of the job and what he's created and being an artist to some degree. He was talking about that. He didn't say his sole motivator was money. He said he wants to get rich doing this. You know, he said that it's not up to him to change everything he's doing. He's an employee of a company or an independent contractor or whatever. He has a boss. He's doing somebody's bidding when he goes out to the ring. And it's not up to him to change the plan of a publicly traded company. It's up to him to execute that plan to the best of his abilities, and hopefully it'll make him rich. And I hope it does make him rich. I do. That's what I think. I think people forget that WWE superstars are human beings with families that give up their lives completely. Reigns is a guy with a wife and a 7-year-old kid. He's giving up his life completely. He's on the road 4 or 5 days a year getting his ass kicked. For the love of the game? I mean, I hope he makes some money. You know, we all look at the wrestler with Mickey Rourke. And all his wrestling fans say, oh, poor guy. You know, we look at Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall. And all these guys who died way too young. And all these guys who are broke even though they were stars when we were kids. And we go, oh, poor guy. But when we hear a current day star saying, look, I want to make as much money as I can, we go, what do you mean make as much money as you can? How dare you make that kind of money? Well, what is it? You know, we all feel sorry for Kamala. Oh, I can't believe it. He doesn't have enough money for a surgery. He doesn't have enough money for this. But then we hear Roman Reigns say, I'm trying to get rich. And we go, trying to get rich. What a bad dude. What a heel. What a heel. When in reality, he's doing exactly what he should be doing. You know, these guys kill themselves so we can complain about it on Twitter. At the end of the day, I hope at least they're drawing an income. That's what I think. And that's this week's State of Wrestling. Thank you for tuning in to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Thanks to Corey Graves, too. That was awesome. You know, you can tweet me anytime. I'd love to keep giving me your Roman Reigns comments. I'd love to keep the debate open. And, you know, if you listen to the SiriusXM show on Friday afternoons, you can call me and we can talk about it. But I don't have phones for the podcast. It's not live. It's recorded. So I'll talk about this thing with anybody. I think it's a really interesting topic of conversation. Until next time, follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and I will see you later. Letras on the Menge. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And subscribe for free to listen every week to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.